Okay, so it's one of those evenings that I'm not quite sure what I'm talking about. A lot of glory, it's going to be great. I thought what I would talk about tonight is living in the light of the resurrection. Because we had Easter last week. And sometimes, I don't know about you, when I think about Easter, it's really cool, but sometimes it just feels a little bit out there. You know, it's really cool. Particularly, I guess we really resonate with what Jesus did for us on the cross. But sometimes the resurrection, you know, how does the resurrection affect our lives? You know, is it the nice bit, the nice end to the story? Is it kind of the cool ending bit? Or does it have relevance for us today? Because sometimes it just, I don't know about you, if this is making sense, but it just feels a little bit out there, a little bit, I don't know, does it really make sense? Maybe it will make sense, you know, when I get to heaven, because Jesus defeated death. But does it affect me today? Does the resurrection make a difference to my life today? And I think it does. I think it does. I'm learning at this, so this is all me processing. So if it's horribly heretical, please be gracious with me. I don't think it will be. I'm going to read from Romans 6, and we're going to sort of jump around a little bit tonight. But Romans 6, I love Romans 6. And this is what Paul says. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Well, don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I love Romans 6, because what Romans 6 does, it takes the cross and the resurrection, which seems to be over here, and it brings it right smack bang in our face. And Paul says that he takes it a little bit further. He doesn't say that Jesus died just for us and rose for us. He says that in some mystical way, we were included in his death and we were included in his resurrection. He didn't just die for us, he died as us. He didn't just rise for us, he rose, let's get my English right, he rose as us. We are included in his death. And we're included in his resurrection. Which is good news for us. He didn't just die for our sins, but he died as us. The sin life, that corruption, that came through Adam. He destroyed when he died. That corruption that we were a part of, he took it. And Paul says, when he died, we died. Paul says in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. I think it's a really interesting way to think, isn't it? Paul obviously thought about it a lot, because if you read his letters, he's constant about it. He's saying, you died with Christ. You died with Christ. You died to that old way of sin. You died to that corrupted nature. You were a part of his death. We were united with Christ in his death. We were buried with him in baptism. Our old life is dead and buried. Our old life, our old way of living, our old nature that couldn't understand God, that was separated from God, that couldn't communicate with God. It's dead and it's in the ground. And the beauty of Easter is that as Christ rose, he rose as a new human being, a new man, free from sin. And we are included in that new life. The joy of the Christian faith is that we have been given as a gift, brand new life, resurrection life in Christ. And the Christian life is about discovering that life that's on the inside of us. You're a brand new creation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, he says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ tonight? Yes, you are. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That he's talking about now. He's not talking about when we die. He's saying right now, the old is gone, the new has come. The Christian life is new life. It's newness life. You are full right now of the presence and glory of God. You are full. It's the newness of life. We've been included in his death, and we've been included in his resurrection. Paul says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. He says, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I wonder how often we do that. I wonder how often we count ourselves dead to sin. I think sometimes, I don't know about you, but I often count myself sinful. I think about how not worthy I am, or how many times I get it wrong. But Paul doesn't tell us to do that. He says we've got to have an Easter Sunday mindset. We've got to have an Easter day, an Easter morning mindset, and that is considering ourselves dead to sin because of what Christ has done, and alive to God. We are alive in him. We've been included in him. We've been given his righteousness. We've been given his holiness. Salvation isn't a process, it's a person. Holiness isn't a process, holiness is a person. Sanctification isn't a process, sanctification is a person, Jesus, in whom we have been included. Colossians 1:22 says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That's the beauty of Easter Sunday. That's the beauty of living in the resurrection. We died with him, and now we've been brought to newness of life. We are new creations, without blemish, free from accusation. Colossians 2:13 says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Like, there it is again. You're dead. And now you're alive in Christ. You're a brand new creature, full of light, full of the goodness and glory of God. And it's not your fault. It's a gift of God. It's the righteousness. It's the resurrection. A couple of weeks, months ago, we were reading through a book called The Great Dance. And I just wanted to read a bit from it where he talks about the resurrection. It says this. The death of Jesus Christ is not the end of the relationship between the Father and the Son. It is the final triumph. For dying is the incarnate Son's final and decisive refusal to be Adam. As such, it is the radical circumcision of Adamic flesh, the death of the man of sin, the decisive conversion of the Adamic existence, and the end and the undoing of the fall in recreation and resurrection. For what emerges on the other side of the cross is a human being from the fallen stock of Adam who is utterly right with God. On the other side of the cross is a human being. He became man. He became one of us. He went through death. He rose again. And he is fully right with God. And you are in Christ. You are included in Jesus' relationship with the Father. That's the beauty, the joy of the resurrection. I was struck again by, you kind of read the Easter story again and again and again, and you kind of, you think you know the story, and I read it again in John this year, and it's great, isn't it, when something new and something fresh comes out of something that you know so well. And I guess for me this year, I was looking at when Jesus appeared to Mary in the garden on that first Easter Sunday. And it's just an amazing moment where Mary doesn't quite understand who this person is talking to her. She suddenly thinks is a gardener, but he then uses her name, and Jesus said to her, Mary. And as she hears her name being said, she realizes it's Jesus, and she cries out, Teacher. And then Jesus says this really interesting thing. He says, do not hold on to me, for I've not yet returned to the Father. Go instead, tell my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. That must have been, for Mary, a mind-blowing statement. I think it was the first Easter Day sermon. Jesus is saying, go and tell my brothers, go and tell my brothers who abandoned me, who let me down, who couldn't stick by me in the worst moment of my life. Go and tell those that have abandoned me. Go and tell my brothers that I am going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Right there we have the message of the resurrection, that he brought us into perfect union with God. The relationship that Jesus has with the Father is the relationship he has won for us. I'm returning to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And so, let's live in the light of the resurrection. Let's live in the joy of the resurrection. Let's begin to unpack together the power of the resurrection, because he did something. He did something on that day that affects us right now. The old has gone. The new has come. He's given us a brand new heart, a brand new nature. He's taken away that heart of stone. He's given us a heart of flesh, a heart that can hear him, a heart that can be blessed by him, a heart that can feel his love. He's taken away the things that separate us. He's taken away that sin that created death in our lives. He's buried it. He's got rid of it. He made a sacrifice once and for all for the forgiveness of sins. And now you have been made alive with Christ. You're a brand new creature, a brand new creation. Let me read to you Hebrews. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, here's Hebrews 10. This is Hebrews 10. Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. The resurrection and its effect upon us is mind-boggling. And I wonder, I just feel challenged, do we have faith in the resurrection? You know, Paul talks a lot about Adam And he says, you know, through Adam came death. Through Adam came sin and death. And then he says, through the one man, Jesus Christ, came life, righteousness and life to all, he says. He says this, but the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? I think so often we have such faith in Adam and his ability to that sin that affected mankind. But do we have faith in what Christ did on the cross to affect us with the life and righteousness of God? We're so quick to believe that we're sinful because of Adam. How quick are we to believe that we've been made right with God because of Jesus Christ? Who's the greater one? We're so quick to believe we're corrupt and need help. But are we quick to trust that what Jesus did on that cross affected you, made you holy, made you stand before God without blemish, free from accusation? That's the power of Easter. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We say that every Sunday. What does repent mean? It means change the way you think. Change the way you think. Let's start thinking like people who have died with Christ and have been raised to life. We're brand new, full of the glory of God. There's no separation between us and Him. We've been made right with God. In His eyes, we are holy, cherished, free from accusation. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting men's sins against them. He really did finish the job on the cross. And now our growth, our Christian growth, is to enjoy this resurrection life, to enjoy this newness of life. You are free. You are whole. You are complete. You are brand new in Christ. You might not feel it sometimes, but that's the truth, and the truth will set you free. As we grow in the knowledge, and we'll be forever growing, right? But I want to start now. Eternity starts now. The other day, I wasn't feeling so great about myself, which is often my battle. Sometimes I feel good, sometimes don't feel so good. And this book was given to me on the 9th of January 2002, when I got confirmed by my godparents. I barely ever read it. It's, what is it? It's a daily light kind of thing. So basically, it has the date, or the day, April the 12th, April the 13th. And it has a morning bit and an evening bit. And then it just has selected scriptures. That's all it is. There's no kind of writing. It's just scriptures, but compiled in a certain way. I wasn't feeling so great about myself. And this was kind of under a sofa, sort of peeking out. And I walked in the room, and I just felt so strongly the Lord say, pick it up and read it. So I picked it up. Turned to April the 10th, which is what the day it was. And this is what followed. This is what it said. just this is lots of different scriptures. I am dark, but lovely. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I had bestowed on you, says the Lord. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. You are complete in him, perfect in Christ Jesus. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Spoke right into my situation. I was feeling, I'm a sinful man, but then God's coming right back. Behold, you are fair, my love. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. That's resurrection thinking. He's saying, hey, I see you pure, I see you holy. Do you see yourself as I see you? It's the power of the cross. It's the power of the resurrection. The old has gone, the new has come. Amen.